Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Pop Rocks Radio talk show and podcast. We're adding that now because, you know, that's what it is. Anyhow, I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. The big show. I'm glad you found it. Very, very cool. We're going to start today. I'm very excited. This week is nice, man. We've got all these really cool guests. Well, we always have cool guests, but I mean, we've been focusing a lot on film guests and independent film and whatnot over the last couple of weeks, and now we're getting into music, really cool music, all different types of genres and all different types of people, and it's refreshing and a nice change. I'm glad we can do both, but this is fun this week, because as you know, as those who know, listen to the show and follow my blogs and all that, man, yeah, I'm a painter and all that, but man, I am into music. I dig it. That's where all the ideas for my paintings come from. And today is no exception. Today is no exception. We have a fantastic singer-songwriter on with us, Mr. Tom Goss. Hello, Tom. I hope I'm saying your last name right.
Yeah, Tom Goss is perfect. You did great.
Awesome, man. I'm cooking with grease today. That's a good thing. Tom, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tom and I were talking off mic before the show, and Tom's out, of course, in Southern California, Los Angeles area. Reports it's a fantastic day out there. Hard not to have a good day in LA. So that's a good thing.
It's always beautiful in LA. It's every day.
Always. I'm telling you, always. And when the once every couple years when it does rain, everybody goes insane. It's it's kind of cool to see.
People just cancel their days. They'll cancel their days. They'll cancel all their appointments. Pretty ridiculous.
It's so true. Well, you know, it's strange things. Water coming from the sky. It's very weird. You know, who knows what'll happen. Now, Tom, are you from Los Angeles, or what's the story? Are you a transplant?
I grew up in Wisconsin. And then I went to school in there. Yeah. And then I went to school in there, Kansas City. Then I spent a decade in Washington, D.C. And now I'm here.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I grew up in Metro Detroit. And I remember that D.C. was one of the first towns. All these crazy bands would always play in D.C. And we'd always make that trip at least once a year, me and a bunch of my crazy friends. And it seems in my experience, and this was many years ago, you probably weren't even born yet, or you were a baby, I imagine. It seems every scene in D.C. that I remember that I wound up in was extreme. You know, if you went to a punk show, well, there were going to be ambulances outside it. If you went to a drag show, I saw a drag queen fist fight in D.C. one time, I remember. Girl knocked another girl's wig off. It was insane. Like, with a punch.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Like, I don't feel like DC's like that anymore, which is one of the reasons that I left. You know, when I came, DC's gone through a lot of changes, and I think it was even more different before I showed up. But yeah, it's definitely like a gritty town. It was always really gritty and really edgy and really interesting and really, you know, there was a great underground element to it. But now it's
boring.
Really gentrified and really cookie cutter and very rigid, and it doesn't seem as quite as fun to me anymore.
I hear you, Tom. You have, just from that statement, I have talked to friends of mine. I used to be kind of a club rat. I used to go to a lot of clubs all the time. You know, it's been about two decades inside a discotheque, it seems. But I've had this conversation with people where I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean, it's great, equality and all this and that, and nobody wants to see anybody hurt or in a problem or whatnot. But I kind of miss like you were saying, some edginess to certain scenes, you know?
I
go to a party,
I think there's a couple different kinds of people in the world. People that, you know, want what they know. You know, people that
right.
love going to Applebee's. There's nothing wrong with Applebee's. You know you're going to get the same exact food every single time. Or somebody that's always searching for the one thing that's different and better. And that the element of wanting the best thing also means you might get a horrible thing. And you have to take that risk.
Right. Absolutely. Tom, I love it. You get it, man. You get it. Oh, I'm laughing so hard. It's funny. We, me and my fiance Danny, we travel, and she's younger than me, but she's kind of cut of the same cloth. And you know, we've been to all kinds of places and seen all kinds of things. And then we hang out with some of our different friends who don't know that, new friends who don't realize that about us and think, you know, we're just this normal little couple that you know, bought a house and has a dog and everything's great. You know, and it is, but we definitely have been around and seen some things, and they don't realize that, you know, and their conversations are sometimes a little guarded. I'm like, man, nothing you could tell us would surprise us, you know?
Sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
But so it's cool. It's cool. Now, that's interesting, too. Midwest to the extreme, one East Coast and then out to the West Coast and whatnot. And we've been touching a little bit on this in our conversation, I think, without even really meaning to. How was it a big culture shock or not really?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I consider myself very, very lucky. You know, my mom's, and it like comes from an Italian family from Chicago. So like for me, the idea of, you know, even something as simple as adventurous eating. You know, when I was growing up, I was always packing my school lunch, and it was full of octopus and squid, and like all of these weird things that the rest of the world thought was weird, but I just thought was normal. So for me, I was brought up in kind of like the very semi-suburban, you know, white bread Wisconsin world. But there was also this little more exotic world that was happening for me. And my mother and my father have always had a very strong sense of adventure. So I was always brought up with that sense of adventure. And it wasn't actually, and that was normalcy for me. And so it wasn't actually until I moved to Missouri to go to college that I realized just how small the world could be. I was in a small rural town in Missouri, and a lot of the people that I was going to school with, even though we were in college and we were all, you know, in some ways the cream of the crop and all of that kind of stuff, their lives were much, much more sheltered than my life. You know, I had gone, you know, after I graduated from high school, me and my brothers and my dad went and camped in the Amazon rainforest for like 3 weeks. You know what I mean? And so it was kind of like, and then I would go to Missouri, and the majority of my friends knew their hometown and maybe Branson or the Lake of the Ozark or these things that were a little different but also very safe. And it wasn't until that experience that I realized that, one, my experience was different and that my world was already much bigger than these people's worlds, and two, that I wanted my world to continue to grow exponentially, and I never wanted to become a kind of person that was content with their surroundings.
Absolutely. When you start to feel a little too safe, man, it's as an artist, that's not the shallow end of the pool, although cool and refreshing, isn't artistically really where you want to be. I have found. Now, let me ask you this. Growing up in this kind of cool scenario and whatnot, but being in the still waters of this pond, when your parents found out that you wanted to be a musician, did they freak out?
No. I think my family more or less is kind of like live and let live. I don't think that, you know, I think they were probably didn't understand me wanting to be a priest more than me wanting to be a musician. I think that was probably more confusing to my family. But again, you know, I'm not going to tell my family anything and they're going to listen to me. And they know they're not going to tell me anything and I'm going to listen to them. You know, we're all going to do what we want to do ultimately. So I think my family's more of the mind of kind of like, if you tell them you're going to do something, like, okay, cool, have fun. You know, that's really more or less how my family operates. Regardless of how dumb you think the idea is, you know.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, well, sometimes fantastic, but it's also like my father would be like, I want to, you know, jump on this pile of knives. He'd be like, well, good, have fun, enjoy it. You know, even things that they knew were dangerous and they knew were going to end well, you know, their kind of philosophy was, well, do it, and then you'll know not to do that again, you know, kind of more or less.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
My father was very similar in that. I don't know if that's a Midwestern thing or what it is necessarily, but yeah, you know, he was a big one on self-reliance and learning through, I don't know, you know, usually if you burned your hand on the stove bad enough, you learn.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And I do think that's a very Midwestern trait. You know, I think it's changing a little bit, especially in urban areas. But I think for the most part, people in the Midwest, they're just like, do your thing and see what happens. And I do think that's changing and for sure.
Well, that's crazy. So you mentioned seminary, but wanting to become a priest and all this and that. Well, not seminary directly, but you said becoming a priest. And that probably raised a couple of eyebrows with our listeners. Tell us a little bit about that, you know, broad stroke-wise.
Yeah, well, you know, I really wanted to, you know, I was pretty asexual at the time. I wasn't really attracted to men or to women. So for me, the idea of celibacy was a non-issue. And I really wanted to work in a field that would help me reconcile people with themselves, reconcile people with one another. And I wanted to do a lot of ecumenism and interreligious dialogue. And for me, the best platform seemed like going to seminary and becoming a priest. That's what I thought was the best decision for me. I mean, I was wrong, but you know, I gave it a good
shot. Not always
a
bad thing being wrong, you know, that's how we learn, you know?
And it's interesting. I have a lot of friends that are always like, I wonder how you were then. I wonder how you were then different than now. And I always say, I was pretty much the same. I just have a different platform for these same kind of issues.
Well, exactly. And I've met a couple elder people that have those nagging regrets, you know, I wish I would have done this. And I early on said, I never want to be in that position where I have nagging doubts. Right or wrong, at least I know, well, that didn't work. You know, that wasn't for me. I get where you're coming from.
My only regrets are in the not doing. My regrets are not in my failures. I'm super, super fine to fail over and over and over again. It's in the not trying I could not cope with.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Now, I imagine that carries over artistically with your music as well. Am I right on that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people are always asking me, well, you know, this project's way different than this project. It's different than this project. And, you know, and it's like, you know, you're a painter. You don't want to paint the same picture over and over again. Imagine just like, well, I'm really good at painting a smiley face, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think our challenge as artists is to continue to explore the unknown and make the unknown accessible to other people. I mean, you can put a piece of art in your house, or you can listen to a piece of music that you understand, but you are unable to go there yourself. And I think that's a really important job for artists.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another. A friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Holla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierux.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all-natural, organic, gluten-free skincare. Hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. LapothecaryUnique.com.
Now, I was looking when I got your press kit and whatnot, and it's man, I love La Famas. I'm so glad you're working with them. They are such a dream PR company to work for, or to work with, I should say. They give all these little they have a whole like little page of I don't know, talking points or what, you know, just little facts and figures and whatnot. And the first thing on there, and it caught my eye, is something about your new journey and your new upcoming album. The word polyamorous is in that. Now, knowing people in all these various scenes, like I said, over the years and whatnot, I remember when polyamorous, I remember when bisexuality and then polyamorous, after that, were almost socially a kiss of death in certain LGBTQ plus scenes, or including straight scenes. A lot of people don't get that, you know. How has that relationship and being involved with that affected your music artistically and your outlook artistically, I should say?
Well, I mean, the whole upcoming record is really about that journey and about that transition for me. I would totally agree with you that it's a frightening thought and to put out there publicly. So I do definitely have anxiety about how I'm going to be perceived, how this record is going to be perceived, how this conversation is going to be perceived. But at the end of the day, you know, I found myself in a position where
you know, my husband really wanted to open our relationship for, because he had he had a piece of his journey that he needed to explore. And I felt like my role at the time was to be a person that had supported him on his journey, regardless of if it was hard for me or what I believed marriage and relationship to be. Because I've always been pretty, very monogamous and very like, oh, these are the rules. You follow the rules, you know, really, really signing on to and accepting the societal norms. And his journey set off a journey of my own. And, you know, in my interactions with other people of a physical, emotional, and sexual nature, I fell in love with another man. And, you know, all of this is purely, in a lot of ways, purely innocent, purely natural, and purely everything. My experience tells me that this is the same experience as I've had with my husband. It's not like dirtier or less valuable. Mm-hmm. Like the love that I share with my lover is as beautiful and able to be treasured as the love that I share with my husband. So for me, it's a little, you know, it's hard to say that without feeling like I'm equating the two, which I'm not meaning to. I just don't know how to describe the idea of love, you know. I think that both of the loves are valuable and both of the experiences are valuable, and that's really what I'm speaking to. I don't even know that I would consider myself polyamorous, because I don't believe that this is the, I'm not sure that this is the only way in which I believe love can exist. But I do believe that for now, this is the situation in which I find myself, and I want to speak to that, and I want to make art around that. And it's, honestly, it's a really wonderful, vibrant, complicated thing to create from. You know, we create from moments of conflict or deep understanding or deep questioning in our lives. And when you all of a sudden are in a relationship which contradicts everything that society teaches us from the moment that we're born, it really provides for a beautiful canvas in which to paint.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, you know, I'm glad everything is going well. And, you know, and people, I think, I don't understand that scene probably because I've never been in it. And
sure.
But I do know enough to know that just because it's something I haven't personally experienced is not necessarily a bad thing. Hey, if that's working for, you know, someone and no one's getting hurt in the situation and nobody's, it's not, you know, believe me, I've known plenty of people that keep somebody on the side and a lot of sneaking around, and that usually ends up, you know, not good for certain parties and whatnot. Approaching open point of view, that's not a bad thing.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, I think that trust and communication are the things that are most key in relationship. And I think it's really an interesting point that you make, because I'm in it and I don't understand it. Just like I'm not sure that I understand monogamy anymore. You know, maybe I never did. And I think it's interesting to us to say something like, you know, as long as nobody's getting hurt or it's a positive, you know, as long as it's a positive experience. And I want to say, like, you know, I participated in monogamy and polyamory, and I would like to say that there's a lot of joy in both of them, and there's a lot of pain in both of them. And so,
right.
It's, you know, so in terms of just to even like challenge the language that we're using in this societal construct, you know, just because two people are monogamous doesn't necessarily mean their relationship is good. And you even brought it up yourself about people, you know, having somebody on the side. And that, of course, you know, that dishonesty isn't good either. But I guess what I'm saying is it strengthens the idea that people's needs and wants change in a relationship over time. And the most important thing, I believe, is to be open and honest about those things and to move together as a unit to try to attack those as a team, regardless of
who they are. Absolutely, man. And it you know, in this conversation brings me, you know, it brings to mind, you know, people I've known over the years or whatnot. And, you know, I knew one cat one time that, and this is absolutely very true, he was a cross-dresser, and he was middle-aged, and had been, you know, that was his thing. That's what he enjoyed doing, and his wife kept it from his wife for, like, 25 years they had been married, you know what I mean? And he had his little stuff stashed away and would have weekend business trips where he would go do his thing, and, you know, hey, whatever worked. But I remember seeing that from a very young, naive age, going, well, I don't know how he could be this dishonest with his wife that, you know, oh my God, you know, where it wasn't the cross dressing that shocked me, but it was that, the way he went about it. But then again, here I am judging this guy, you know, I don't know his story. I don't know his life. You know what I mean? Who knows?
I mean,
you're
describing the first season of Transparent. Have you watched Transparent?
No, I haven't, and it's on Amazon, and it's one of those I've been, you know, with all the streaming now, it's hard to
You can't keep up. You can't keep up.
I can't.
It's impossible.
I have a list. It's so true. It's so,
but it
you
is,
know, all that
it,
game.
It is,
oh, go ahead.
It is beautiful. It is awesome that, you know, they were able to talk about it, and I think Transparent's a wonderful show because, honestly, I can't say that I identify with or even like any of the characters, but I do know that every single episode I can empathize with them, and I am crying, and I am moved by them, and I'm moved by their imperfections. The truth of the matter is we're all really imperfect people, and that it's not good guy versus bad guy. It's this beautiful shades of gray that we're all trying our best. And really, that's all you can ask. And I think that the fact that somebody can't talk to their wife about being a cross-dresser has very little to do with the wife's ability to understand that, and has a lot more to do with our learned behavior and our judgment around that.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And even when you mentioned, you know, there's apprehension about announcing the landscape terrain of this upcoming album and whatnot, it's interesting to me because especially in the times we live, I have certain progressive friends will say that they're like, oh well, you know, the LGBT community's got it all figured out, you know, they're just accepting and understanding on all, not necessarily. Yes, there's a rainbow, but man, I have certain friends. I mean, there's limits and levels of what people, you know, think is cool or acceptable. And that's a dirty word to me. You know, I mean.
Well, the interesting thing about that statement for me is that, you know, I think you're right. I think if you look at it from the outside perspective, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, they haven't figured out because we've had to create our own rules. But if you look at kind of the acceptance of the LGBTQ community in the current state of our society, we are now ascribing to the difference, the already established set of social mores, because we are now accepted. So now we're taking on this idea of monogamy. We're taking on these ideas of marriage. We're taking on these ideas of families that have been passed down for eons. And I do think there's actually more of a conflict in the LGBT community than ever before, because there are the people, there's the older generation that's like, no, these rules don't work for us. We tried them, right, and we created our own set of rules. And the younger generation is like, nope, I'm going to get married. I'm going to have 2.5 kids. I'm going to get my house. And it's like, those aren't our rules. We didn't make up those rules. You know, the heterosexual societies from the beginning of time made up those rules. And now that we're accepted, we're just taking them on as our own as well. And so I do think there's actually a conflict there, which is interesting to watch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, and it's, I am glad, like I said, the biggest thing that I see is, I don't want any more cases of Matthew Shepherds. Oh, you're seeing that with trans women now. You know, that's in the news a lot. It seems like every other day somebody's getting hit with a baseball bat. Hey, let's just try living in a society where people don't have to get hit with a baseball bat, regardless, except a baseball. How about that? You know, it's a crazy world. Well, this is cool. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com. So Territoys, I'm reading here, took a year to write, and you travel. No, what is this also? You travel all over the place. You're a traveling man.
I'm a traveling man.
That's
pretty
cool.
I'd say it was written over the period of a year. I produce a lot of music and a lot of videos and a lot of stuff. And for me, I just didn't want to rush this in any way, shape, or form. We probably were done recording the bulk of it a year ago. So for me, I really was meticulous in the writing of this and never rushing any part of this process. And I do think that from an emotional perspective, there was a lot of shit to be sorted through.
Right.
And so for me, that also takes time. And when I would have these experiences, when I would go to a place and it would bring up an emotion, or I would get into a fight with my husband or have a conversation with my husband that moved me deeply, I found those as really places of opportunity to tap into what I was feeling and then write about it. And that's not something I could have sat down with a week and gone from, hey, I love monogamy and I'm totally ascribed to everything society says to me, to the moment that I am now. That doesn't happen in a week, you know? That happens over a period of years and over a lot of questioning and over a lot of understanding and over a lot of fuck ups. And I needed all of that.
Well, that's you know, not to make light of anything. I'm glad to hear that you know, there were issues whilst traveling. Oh man.
Yeah.
Me and Danny.
Of course.
It is. Oh, God. Sometimes the first night at a new place can you forgot what? We didn't do this? What does that mean? What do you mean we don't know the name of the hotel? Of course, and all those conversations end with, well, everyone makes mistakes and I understand where you're coming. No, it really doesn't. things happen, man. Oh man. Well, that's interesting. You mentioned when you were younger going to South America, the Amazon. So you kind of had this seed of rambling and traveling planted at an early age, I'd say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, my parents love to travel. And it's not like we
we really had money for the most part, so we would just hop in the van and drive. You know, my mother was also a teacher, so that provided us with a lot of vacation together in the summertime. So we would hop in the van and, you know, and drive to Yellowstone and go camping,
right.
You know, and just drive these huge thousands of miles of trips around the country, you know, from Wisconsin to Yellowstone or Wisconsin to Boston or Wisconsin to Miami or Wisconsin to Mexico. You know, we were always just like, where are we going now? What do we want to do? I remember this thing when we decided we wanted to go on a cruise. One year we were young and we were looking at a couple different cruises. One was like a Disney cruise and one was this other cruise. It was just called Dolphin, I think. And the Dolphin was pretty low rent. And I remember all of us unanimously like not wanting to go on the Disney cruise because it seemed too fancy and it would prohibit us from doing other things. So we all like, you know, as a 10-year-old, we're like, no, we don't care about Disney. We want to go to this thing because it'll provide us an opportunity to have different adventures that we wouldn't have had on this Disney cruise, which seems like manufactured adventures, you know?
Right. Absolutely. It's fascinating. I have found in my travels upon the world that you come across, when I do come across rigid people with closed minds and whatnot, they haven't, upon talking to them and whatnot, they haven't traveled around much. They haven't been exposed to other cultures and stuff. If nothing opens a mind up, man, and like world travel, you know. And it
yeah, and I mean, it's also know. We're also speaking from a place of privilege to be able to. Mm-hmm. So you know, I don't want to sound judgmental when I say any of this stuff. This is just what I have found to be valuable and what I have. Place as a priority in my life, but I also know that people are many times in situations where that's not an option for them, and so that's the wonderful thing about the internet. It's a wonderful thing about television. It's a wonderful thing about these other ways in which you can garner these experiences.
Absolutely, and you're right. Some of the best travel is in a tent, you know, doing it quote unquote on the cheap. Nothing wrong with that. You can absolutely do that. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's always nice to show up in the Rockstar converted Provost bus. That's nice, too. the point is, I think, is just try to have a good time no matter where you're at, you know, and open your eyes and see yourself, you know. Now, I'm looking at the statistics. You also do a lot of videos, a lot of music videos. And I always ask my musician friends this. There's a spectrum of usually two points, but sometimes people lie in between. One, when I ask them about music videos, they're always like, oh, I love doing them. Fantastic. Best thing in the world. The other opposite end of that is it's a necessary evil for the business. Just seeing the prolific amount that you of videos that you have, where do you fall in that spectrum? I would assume, and again, it's terrible to assume things, did you like making them?
I do love making them. I mean, I think that both answers are correct. It is definitely a necessary evil. I mean, I probably have, 12 million views on my videos. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine how many shows I would have to play to get 12 million people to see me. You know, and so in that kind of practical point of view, it's really important to just get your name out there. But I also think that storytelling is really important, and for me that's my job, and I want to tell my story, and I want to tell the stories of my community which people have not told since the beginning of time. And so that's a really important responsibility that I have, and so I enjoy telling those stories and I enjoy the responsibility of those stories. I'm very proud of the work. It is oftentimes fun, but it is oftentimes very stressful. So there's a little bit of both happening. These things don't come easy. You know, sometimes people are like, why don't we do this video and this and this and this? Because they see how prolific I am, and they assume that it's an easy process. But it is not easy to conceptualize, to create, and to finalize and to release. It is a very difficult process.
Absolutely. It's I get that on a much smaller level Everybody's always telling me, like, well, you should do an art show about this, with this theme. And I'm like, well, hold on, let me pull this giant wad of money out of my pocket. But, you know, they don't think about the expense.
And the
of,
700
you know,
hours that I don't have to then make it happen. Yeah.
That's very true. Very true. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month. After $31.25 per month credit, apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at MBMMusicLLC.com. That's MBMMusicLLC.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Well, you've had such great, hits, my girlfriend Danny, she hadn't seen it before. And when the press kit came in and whatnot, of course I went to YouTube. Let's go to YouTube, you know, and we were watching all of these, and she loved the Bears video. She loved them all, really. But man, the Bears one for some reason just connected with her, and she's been singing it nonstop for the past few weeks.
Especially
if I do anything handy around the house, she's like, hey, my lumberjack is where it's at. I've heard that.
That's wonderful.
It's fantastic. Well, in support of Territories, which is due out later this year, I don't know if it's just in support of it, but I'm looking at your website here and looking at your tour dates. You're going to be up in at the Tuscany Suites and Casino in Vegas here in a couple weeks in July 6th. Have you played Tuscany before? I haven't been to the Tuscany Suites. Is it a nice?
I have no idea what it's like, and I will find out next week. but yeah, I can't wait to be back in Vegas. And I have a couple other dates on that, but I'm really booking a lot for the fall. So I'll be up and down the East Coast, up and down the West Coast in the fall. I have a few Midwest dates. I'll probably be hitting up Europe in the winter. So dates will start coming real quick.
Oh, that's fantastic. I see in November you already booked in my neck of the woods, Fort Lauderdale. So there you go.
Absolutely. I'll be in Fort Lauderdale. I can't wait.
Yeah, fun town. We like it a lot. Well, that's cool. So you're working, man. You've got the hustle going. And that's what you have to do in any business, you know, but especially entertainment. Very, very cool. Well, Quayside is the new single that's coming out 2 days. We were talking off mic before the show. I thought it was a week away, but man, 2 days this is dropping. Tell us a little bit about Quayside, or should we play Quayside first and then talk about it, or how do you want to do that?
Why don't I talk about it first?
Okay.
Yeah, so Quayside, you know, like I said, this is really the evolution of my understanding and my experience in how this relationship is evolving. And Quayside was me going to London for the first time, which is where my lover lives, and like seeing his life from an intimate perspective for the first time. And there was a lot of challenges that I was having internally with that, especially in terms of where are my boundaries? You know, how do I act with this person in his life? How do I do something that doesn't embarrass him or make him feel bad or put him in an uncomfortable situation? If I'm staying at his house, but he stays at this house with his husband. His neighbors know who his husband is. What are they going to think of me all of a sudden, you know? And do I hold his hand as I walk out of the house? Where are my rules? Where are my boundaries? How do I do this in the right way? And that's really what the song is about, trying to understand what is right and what is wrong, because I'm always longing to do this in the right way.
Absolutely. Navigate it correctly. I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, let's play it. This is Quayside, everybody. Check this out. Tom Goss.
Tell me which parts of me
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. That was Quayside by Tom Goss. Tom, fantastic track. I love it. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And very, very good work. I can't wait to hear the rest of the album Territories. Now, in my notes, it says that this is going to be released later this year. I got to put you on the spot a little bit. Do you think fall or will it be more
October.
In winter
Mid-October.
Or October?
Mid-October.
Nice.
Yeah. I think we're talking and, the 11th or the 18th, but I don't think we've locked that down yet, but I definitely should do that.
Well, very good. Hey, Tom, I know that I, you know, we started the show and whatnot, and I'm like, oh, are you good for, you know, half hour and whatnot? I've kept you longer than that, and I know you're an extremely busy man. So I really appreciate your patience with me and everything and taking the time out of your schedule to be on the show. But I understand you've got things to do, man. So, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me and for letting me be a part of your show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I can't wait to hear more. Keep doing what you're doing, man. You're real, real good at it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great one.
You too. Bye.
Bye. So there you go, folks. That was Mr. Tom Goss and his forthcoming album, Territory. Very, very cool. We have links up on our show page to Tom's website and his social media and whatnot. I suggest you check those out. And so important. If you dig a musician or dig a independent film or whatever, anything, you know, you come across somebody who makes the best muffins in town, like and share their page. We live in a social media is such an important part of all business these days. And chances are, when you share somebody's page, all of your friends are going to dig it too. There's a reason you guys are all friends, because, you know, you like the same type of stuff and help get the word out. You know, people are working real hard to make this and this cool stuff. And it's very important. It helps a lot, especially in entertainment. People don't realize, not in the business, just how important that is. So yeah, definitely like and share with musicians if they're on Spotify and whatnot. Add them to your playlists and whatnot, and Pandora and all the streaming music sites as well. And that just helps the algorithms. Well, it's a big thing. I won't get into all how all that works, but it does. Trust me on that. It helps a lot. Very, very cool. There's always meetings with people with ponytails and khakis that throw around the word engagement a lot. And they're not talking about getting married, man. Very, very cool. So, yeah, so we have those links up. And however you're listening to our podcast, we're on like 150 podcast streaming platforms and whatnot. The reason I'm saying this, however you're listening to it, those links follow the podcast. So there's always a place where you can click on those and get to those links. So very, very cool. You know, Tom's page is cool, his website, because he's got links also to all of his previous albums and whatnot. In Spotify format on playlists and whatnot. So you can check out his other music as well, videos and a lot of cool photos. And yeah, it's a nice, easily navigatable website that I dig, you know? So very, very cool. Yeah, so check that out, definitely. Let's see, today is Wednesday, so we are, we're almost done for today, but we will be back tomorrow. We're totally switching gears on genre. Tomorrow we've got, returning guest to the show, Mr. Richard Lynch of the Richard Lynch Band from Ohio. Richard's very cool because he makes traditional country music. You ain't going to hear a lot of songs about getting drunk barefoot on the beach from Richard because his music is new and fresh, but it's in an old school format that I really, really dig. Reminds me a lot of the stuff my parents listened to growing up and whatnot. And, you know, and then I listened to the lyrics and I get where he's coming from. So, yeah, tomorrow, Richard Lynch, tomorrow evening, that'll be at 7 o'clock here on the East Coast. And, of course, that's 3 p.m. out on the West Coast. So how about that? Very, very cool. Be sure to tune in. Oh, and I've gotten a few emails because we put this up on the website. The following week, the first week in July, we're not going to have any live shows that week. And the reason we're not isn't anything big. It's the holiday week, July 4th. Everybody is busy, man. It's hard to book people that week. And no, Danny and I are not going. We put on there, I don't know, maybe we should have done that, but we put on it summer vacation, and everybody thinks we're, you know, off to the Pyrenees or something. No, we're not. Danny's got a cosplay convention she is doing with her business, but I think she's teaching some classes or something there, doing what they call a panel that she teaches. I don't know. I don't know enough about it. She tries to explain it to me. It's just hard for me to retain some of the stuff sometimes. But yeah, she's going to be doing that. I'm going to be working all week, painting, that is. So it's a nice, once a quarter, I like to take a week if I can and just focus on painting, because it gives me a chance to get ahead of the game a little bit. And it's nice having stuff where I can release, you know, new stuff to the public and what have you. And and when the season happens, and it will this fall, I'm telling you, I will get last-minute calls from galleries or different things, and they'll say, hey, can you do a show? And it's real nice to say, yeah, no problem. I've got 20 paintings we can do that no one's ever seen. That's what they always want, paintings no one's ever seen. Ooh, so that's part of my world. But anyway, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Tom Goss, what a cool cat. I dug talking to him today. That was a very cool, interesting conversation that you know, in a different perspective. I dug that. So we will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody, and tune in. Oh, I should say, my sign-off thing, I forgot. I got my little card here. So professional around here. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various streaming platforms, and including all the podcasting platforms, as we mentioned earlier. The big one, of course, is Apple Podcasts. If you're listening to the show on Apple Podcasts, do me a quick favor. Hit that ratings and review, and keeps us up at the top of the page. And that helps me out tremendously when talking with our various advertisers and whatnot. So I appreciate that. It keeps the lights on around here. Very, very cool. Okay, folks. Well, that's it for today. We will see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.